Hi everyone, you're tuning into an episode of A-Minder that features 12 papers published in May of 2022 that all test new treatment options for Alzheimer's disease preclinically. We cover topics like discovery and development of agents that confer neuronal and synaptic protection, or ones that target neuronal function directly. We'll get right into the episode right after this introduction from our co-founder, Sarah.
Welcome to A-Minder, a podcast where we summarize the latest publications on Alzheimer's disease for you, so you can spend more time doing awesome research. For every month, you'll find a series of episodes by theme, and each comes with a bibliography. Whether you're in the lab, on the bus, or cooking your meal, we hope you find this podcast useful and accessible.
I'm your host for this episode, Anusha. I'll be going over 5 papers on drug discovery and development of novel therapeutics, 2 that target neuronal function more specifically, and 5 more papers that aim to confer neuroprotection to improve cognition. If any of the papers that I cover interest you, please do your due diligence by reading the paper for yourself and coming to your own conclusions about their findings. We've even compiled a bibliography for you on this theme and every other theme that's related to Alzheimer's disease, and those can be found on our website at aminder.com. I'll be shortening Alzheimer's disease to AD from now on as well. I think that's all the housekeeping I've got for you today, so let's dive into our first paper on the topic of drug discovery. Paper number 1 is titled Synthesis and Biological Evaluation of Flavonoid Cinnamic Acid Amide Hybrids with Distinct Activity Against Neurodegeneration in Vitro and in Vivo. The first author is Hoffman and the last author is Decker, and this was published in the journal Chemistry. Authors are affiliated with the University of Würzburg in Germany and University of Montpellier in France. In our first paper, we're looking to a naturally derived compound for inspiration, but seeing how we can improve on existing neuroprotective features of the compound. Authors used a class of compounds called flavonoid compounds, including taxifolin and quercetin as a starting point, and then modified it by adding cinnamic acid to it. They also tested other hybrids, but I encourage you to read the paper for the details on the chemical structure and the properties of all of the compounds in their paper. To summarize, all of their compounds were able to protect against reactive oxygen species accumulation and ATP depletion in the mouse hippocampal cell line HT22. The most promising compound was a quercetin cinnamic acid amide, which had marked in vivo activity at a dose of just 0.3 milligrams per kilogram. This was found in an AD mouse model, although they don't specify which one in the abstract. So, in this paper, we have a compound we can further develop, as well as a method for improving efficacy of existing neuroprotective flavonoid-based compounds. Next is paper number 2, Rhinacanthin C, but not D, extracted from Rhinacanthus nasutus L. Kurtz, offers neuroprotection via ERK, CHOP, and LC3B pathways. The first author is Rakita Watana, and the last author is Ten Komnau, and this was published in the journal Pharmaceuticals out of Basel, Switzerland. The authors are affiliated with 2 universities from Thailand, which are Chulalongkorn University and Prince of Songkla University. In the drug development story of our next drug, our source comes from the plant snake jasmine. In this paper, authors isolated the compounds Rhinacanthus C and D and tested them for cellular toxicity in HT22 cells. They also tested for neuroprotective action and potential signaling pathways involved. They found that the compound Rhinacanthus C was effective in protecting against glutamate-induced neurotoxicity. Treatment with low concentration reduced autophagic flux and ER stress, but these levels were increased with increased Rhinacanthus C concentrations. So it seems that this compound was effective at reducing cell death from glutamate toxicity in a manner that was independent of autophagic flux and ER stress. Already, we're moving on to the next paper, paper number 3. Aptamer-induced dimerization strategy attenuates A-beta-O toxicity through modulating the trophic activity of PRPC signaling. The first author is Liu, and the last author is Yang, and this was published in the Journal of American Chemical Society. Authors are all affiliated with Fuzhou University in China. In this paper, authors build on existing knowledge that a receptor for amyloid beta or A-beta oligomers called cellular prion protein has neuroprotective effects. As the neuroprotective action of cellular prion protein improves with dimerization, the authors try to induce dimerization with a compound called aptamer. They found that aptamer treatment promoted freeing up A-beta oligomer-occupied cellular prion protein. It also reduced apoptosis and mitochondrial dysfunction and reduced neuroinflammatory markers. Although they don't specify in which model they applied this treatment, promoting the dimerization of cellular prion protein still seems like a promising therapeutic strategy for AD. Paper number 4 is titled Integration of Network Pharmacology and Molecular Docking Technology reveals the mechanism of the therapeutic effect of Zhijin decoction on Alzheimer's disease. The first author is Zhang, and the last author is Shi, and this was published in Computational Chemistry and High Throughput Screening. Authors are affiliated with Beijing University of Chinese Medicine and Guangganmen Hospital in China. The authors of this next paper try to better understand the neuroprotective properties of a traditional Chinese medicine cocktail called Zhijin decoction. They use different databases to screen for the compounds in this cocktail. Then, they performed computational modeling and gene ontology to get a better picture of the potential mechanistic action of these compounds. They found over 100 active compounds with nearly 1,000 disease targets, but narrowing down to shared targets and overarching function identified just 9 hub targets. These targets seem to be enriched in processes including synaptic function, kinase activity, cell death, and more. I won't get into all of the details, but they do specify more about these biological processes and their relevance to AD in the abstract. In conclusion, they found multiple compounds with multiple targets that are implicated in AD pathology. Moreover, these compounds seem to implicate PI3 kinase, AKT signaling, or the MAP kinase signaling pathways, giving further insight into how the Zhijin decoction confers neuroprotection. I'll leave it up to you to look up how these pathways might play a role in Zhijin action, as both MAP kinase and PI3 kinase can have multiple functions related to maintaining cell health as well as growth and proliferation. The last paper of our first section is paper number 5. Highly oxygenated chemical constitutes and rearranged derivatives with neurotrophic activity from Ganoderma cochlear. The first author is Yu, and the last author is Yin, and this was published in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology. The authors are affiliated with Northwest A&F University in China. Here, authors wanted to better understand the neuroprotective action of the fungus Ganoderma cochlear. This study has a lot of specific organic chemistry that you may be interested in, such as the classes of compounds identified, potential biosynthetic pathways, and functional groups that may be of importance for biological activity. However, I'll focus on the part of this paper that's relevant for AD, which is that compounds called 3,4-seconorlanosteroids showed particular promise in promoting the outgrowth of PC12 cells. This could be further developed as an AD treatment. We're now going to transition into specific neuronal functions that are targeted with the next couple of papers, the first of which is paper number 6. Cattle encephalon glycoside and ignitin ameliorate palmitoylation of PSD95 and enhance expression of synaptic proteins in the frontal cortex of an APP Swedish PS1DE9 mouse model of Alzheimer's disease. The first and last authors both have the surname Zhang, and this was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease. The authors are affiliated with the Chinese People's Liberation Army General Hospital, Zhuchang Hospital, and Xinjiang Medical University in China. This paper explores the idea that the post-translational modification called palmitoylation could be modified by A-beta in the APP PS1 mouse model of AD. This modification could affect the expression of synaptic proteins, including PSD95. Authors wanted to see if this mechanism is implicated in the previously reported neuroprotective action of compounds derived from cattle brains. These compounds are cattle encephalon glycoside and ignatin, which are shortened to CEGI in this abstract. So authors measured PSD95 palmitoylation, A-beta pathology, and synaptic protein levels in the APPPS1 mice with and without CEGI treatment. They found that treatment significantly reduced deposition of A-beta, restored memory, and decreased palmitoylation of PSD95. This was found in tandem with increased expression of synaptic proteins, including PSD95, NR2B, and synaptotagmin 1 in the frontal cortex. Authors found a significant correlation between A-beta expression and PSD95 palmitoylation in mutant mice. Altogether, they suggest that CEGI treatment could be developed further into an AD therapeutic, and that targeting PSD95 palmitoylation presents another therapeutic target. Next is paper number 7, entitled Effect of Ginkgalide K on Calcium Channel Activity in Alzheimer's Disease. The first author is Liu, and the last author is Li, and this was published in the journal Experimental and Therapeutic Medicine. The authors are affiliated with Beijing General Hospital and Dolu Health Consultant Co. Ltd., which are located in China. The authors of this next paper investigated the neuroprotective action of the compound Ginkgalide K. They hypothesized that it involves the regulation of mitochondrial calcium uniporter in neurons. To test this, they treated SHSY5Y cells, also known as sushi cells, with Ginkgalide K along with neurotoxic A-beta. While A-beta increased mitochondrial calcium uniporter expression, decreased cell viability, and promoted apoptosis, Ginkgalide K treatment could protect against these changes. When the uniporter expression was knocked down, treatment with Ginkgalide K did not have any effects. In APPPS1 mice, treatment improved cognition and downregulated mitochondrial calcium uniporter expression in neurons. Therefore, targeting this channel with Ginkgalide K could help increase neuronal viability. Let's take a pause before moving on to our next and final section.
Hi, dear listener. This is Nyla, host and co-founder here at A-Minder. I've been hosting with the team since 2020, and not only has this taught me a lot about Alzheimer's disease, but I've also learned a lot about my inability to articulate words and to keep a consistent distance from the microphone. I apologize for that. But overall, it's been a really rewarding experience and one that we would love to share with you. If you'd like to take a deep dive into Alzheimer's research and science communication, then I've got good news for you. We're currently recruiting new hosts and content creators for the podcast. Just email us at aminderpodcast@gmail.com or contact us through our social media pages and tell us a little bit about yourself. Looking forward to working with you soon.
Nearly 1 million older Canadians live with a form of dementia. This number is expected to double within 10 years, and sadly, no solutions exist yet to dramatically reduce these numbers. It has to stop. Research can help solve this problem. We are 350 researchers fully dedicated towards preventing and finding a cure to dementia and to improve care to those living with dementia. We are the Canadian Consortium on Neurodegeneration and Aging. The solution to dementia could be closer than you think.
Welcome back, everyone. We only have 5 more papers in this episode to cover, and they all target neuroprotection and cognition preclinically. The first of this batch is paper number 8 of this episode. Adenosine-ameliorated A-beta 25-35 induced brain injury through the inhibition of apoptosis and oxidative stress via an ER-alpha pathway. The first author is Zheng, and the last author is Zheng, and this was published in the journal Brain Research. Authors are affiliated with Henan University of Chinese Medicine and the first affiliated hospital of Jinan University in China. The nucleoside adenosine has the potential to act as a neuroprotectant through its modulation of estrogen receptor alpha. That's exactly what the researchers of this paper test in an animal model of AD induced by A-beta 25 to 35 oligomers. They pre-treated for 4 weeks with adenosine and also tested for mechanism by acutely blocking estrogen receptor alpha in one cohort of mice. They found that in A-beta-treated animals, adenosine improved learning and memory, reduced oxidative stress, and reduced neuronal damage and death. Adenosine also increased estrogen receptor alpha levels, and blocking this receptor blocked the neuroprotective effects of adenosine. Therefore, estrogen receptor activation through adenosine is yet another therapeutic avenue to pursue for AD treatment. Paper number 9 is entitled Melatonin and Zinc Supplements with Physical and Mental Activities Subside Neurodegeneration and Hepatorenal Injury Induced by Aluminum Chloride in Rats. Inclusion of GSK3-beta Wnt beta-catenin signaling pathway. The first author is Abu El-Fotouh, and the last author is El-Imam. The journal this was published in is Neurotoxicology, and the authors are affiliated with institutes located in Egypt, Iraq, and Iran. The authors here wanted to test the potential treatment regimen of mental and physical activity in conjunction with melatonin and zinc sulfate supplements in an aluminum chloride-induced rat model of Alzheimer's disease. They found that this treatment regimen greatly reduced neurodegeneration, improved hepatic and renal functions, and reduced oxidative stress and inflammation. They don't specify the results of any one treatment alone, but perhaps that can be found in the paper. Finally, they report that the treatment seems to modulate GSK3-beta, Wnt, beta-catenin signaling, providing some insight into the mechanism of action. In the journal Environmental Science and Pollution Research, we find paper number 10. Differential neuroprotective effect of curcuminoid formulations in aluminum chloride-induced Alzheimer's disease. The first author is Shabir, and the last author is Shah, and the authors are mostly spread out through institutes in Pakistan as well as one in Thailand. Our next paper explores the use of turmeric-derived compounds called curcuminoids for AD treatment. Again, we are using aluminum chloride-treated rats to model Alzheimer's disease. Authors compared treatment with the AD drug rivastigmine, crude curcuminoid extract, enriched extracts, and ternary complex. They found that the best treatments were curcuminoid-rich extracts and their ternary complexes. These compounds improved performance on behavioral assays, inhibited acetylcholinesterase, and downregulated inflammatory cytokine levels. These extracts may provide another source of multi-target neuroprotective compounds. Our second-to-last paper is paper number 11, MST1 Mediates Neuronal Loss and Cognitive Deficits, a Novel Therapeutic Target for Alzheimer's Disease. The first author is Wang, and the last author is Zhang, and this was published in Progress in Neurobiology. The authors are affiliated with Nankai University in China. One key player in neuronal differentiation and neural stem cell proliferation is the protein MST1. Here, authors found that in a model of familial AD, the 5X FAD mouse, MST1 levels increased alongside A-beta accumulation. Overexpression of MST1 directly induced cognitive decline, impaired synaptic plasticity, and increased neuronal apoptosis in 2-month-old animals, even without changing A-beta levels. They suggest that MST1 activates and phosphorylates a regulator of the cell cycle called P53. And this promotes neuronal apoptosis. This was based on the finding that knocking out P53 reverses AD-like changes to cognition. They also show that MST1 pharmacological inactivation improved cognition and ameliorated neuronal apoptosis in 7-month-old transgenic animals. This paper suggests MST1 and P53 overactivity in AD pathology could be targeted as a therapeutic strategy. Our final paper of the episode is number 12, titled Neural Stem Cells Secretome Increased Neurogenesis and Behavioral Performance and the Activation of Wnt Beta-Catenin Signaling Pathway in Mouse Model of Alzheimer's Disease. The first author is Hijraudi, and the last author is Krimipur, and all the authors are affiliated with Tabriz University of Medical Sciences in Iran. This was published in the Journal of Neuromolecular Medicine. This paper employs yet another strategy to treat AD, which is to use compounds secreted from neural stem cells to trigger Wnt and beta-catenin pro-survival signaling. They used an A-beta-42-induced mouse model of AD to test acute treatment with stem cell secretome. They found that Morris Watermaze performance improved with treatment and increased the expression of Wnt beta-catenin-related genes. Treatment reduced GSK3-beta expression that was originally induced by A-beta accumulation. They also found that treatment promoted the proliferation and differentiation of neural stem cells and increased neuron number when compared to untreated mice. Therefore, the secretome can promote neurogenesis through Wnt beta-catenin signaling and improve cognition in AD mice. I wonder how this could translate to people with AD. With that thought, we come to the end of our episode, but I do want to point out that we release new episodes 3 times a week, so do check out some of our other episodes. For example, I have another episode on changes to synaptic transmission in AD that was released earlier on, or just prior to this episode, you'll find Judy's episode on cognitive and behavioral changes in people. Please take a moment to rate us on the platforms that you use to stream our podcast and leave us a review if you could. It really does help us expand our reach. You can stay in touch with us over social media, or if you'd like to join our team of volunteers, send us your CV to aminderpodcast@gmail.com if you're interested. I'll wrap up by thanking the people who made this episode possible, including the sorting and management teams, whose names are credited in the show notes. Thank you also to Judy for reviewing both my script and final edit, as well as to Lara for the bibliography. Finally, if you like the song that you're hearing right now, it's mine, and you can check it out or any of my other songs on SoundCloud under the channel Anusha Kamesh or on YouTube under AK Music. With all that said, the goal of Aminder is to serve as a useful and accessible tool for you. Why don't you let us know if we've accomplished that feat? Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time.